Gordon, can you hear me?
Vaguely. You're real quiet.
Very close to the mic then. Okay. How's everything in Juneau?
Just fine. It's not raining.
Well, it looks like this is a little bit of the year where you get your own town back. And no legislature, no tourists.
Yeah.
But usually awful weather.
It has been awful. I'll confess to that.
Well, good. We get to elect a new chair. Anybody want? It looks like we have to decide who the chair is again. I would be glad to have somebody else do it, or I'd be glad to do it either way. And I don't know what anybody wants to do.
Well, if there's no objection, I'd like to renominate Larry Hoffman again. In my opinion, he's a great job as chair.
And I would second that.
Gordon?
That's fine.
You sure you don't want to be chair, huh?
Yep.
Okay. I guess the proper thing to say would be, are there any objections? Okay, I will continue for another year. Let's see, we already approved the agenda, which we shouldn't have done until after the roll call. But if there are any objections to the agenda, you have another chance. And if not, we have the minutes from the January meeting.
Which are in your binder.
Which are in our new binder.
There's a tab there.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move the approval of the minutes.
Are there objections to the approval of the minutes? Oh, I guess we have to have a second.
Second.
With a second, are there objections to the approval of the minutes? Without objection, the minutes are approved. Nikki, would you give us the binder presentation?
I will. Obviously I've got the statutory authority that establishes the commission and outlines the duties and responsibilities. And in the minutes, you'll go to the tab titled Legislators. We have a history of legislators' salaries. And I've separated documents with the red sheets of paper. So we also have a report of legislative branch employees that earned more than $100,000 in calendar year 2010. And then we have the per diem history. And then, go ahead.
I was looking for the legislative employees.
It should be under the tab legislators, and then it's behind, right behind the monthly salary. Hopefully you have it in your binder too. I put the binders together myself, so with more luck.
Second.
Yeah, he's missing it. I'll give you my copy. Do the rest of you have it? Okay.
Thank you.
Then the next tab is information on the governor, lieutenant governor, and commissioners. We have their current compensation. We have a list of divisions and other organizations under the authority of each department. We then have the compensation of a select group of exempt executives, and these are individuals that you had asked me to obtain salaries on previously. On this list, we did not get updated information from the University of Alaska, but otherwise it has been updated if there's any changes. My staff are still trying to get that information from them. And And then we do have the schedule of compensation for executive positions. This is a report that is published by the Department of Administration each year. It's based on a calendar year, so again, you have 2010 information at this point in time. You then have salary information on governor, lieutenant governor, and commissioners or the equivalent from other states. We did run this through the geographic differential calculator, so you can see if they were actually located in Alaska, what the difference, so it's comparable essentially to Alaska salaries. And then we also have executive branch employees that earned more than $100,000 in calendar year 2010. I provided you with a copy of the 2011 findings and recommendations. And then the rest of the tabs will fill in as we go along when you develop 2012 recommendations. I do, though, under the tab titled Other Information, I have a list of judicial branch employees that earned more than $100,000 in 2010.
That's in Other
Information? Other Information. Any other information that you can think of that'd be useful, please let me know, and we'll work on putting that together for you.
Thank you very much for your efforts. As usual, it's well done, and it's far past my capacity to organize and understand all at once. It takes a while.
Are we going to have a quiz on this?
I don't know. My hard drive is full at 67, and the problem is the random delete. So, let's just kind of go around the room in terms of what we're thinking. We're supposed to have lunch somewhere around noon, but if we can kind of have just an open discussion of what we're thinking, what we're thinking about for ideas, and then we can go off the record, have lunch, we'll sit here in a public session, we just don't need to record it, we'll be at ease, and then we'll go on and take any testimony that we get and see what we can come up with for a recommendation. I would hope that we continue the way that we've done it in the past, in the sense of if we're going to make changes, I think we really need to all be on board, willing to support them, work for them. Otherwise, I think the status quo should stay as it is generally, because this has been such a hot area in the past, and we've succeeded by that standard. I think it's worked for us. So, Gordon, since you're not here and you usually have the most history and the most information digested, why don't you lead off? What are you thinking?
I am thinking that we shouldn't do anything this year. The only salary that I was looking at that... we might want to talk about is lieutenant governors, but I am content to leave things alone.
And you're not going to tell us all the data that went into that discussion in your mind?
I've been thinking hard about it.
Mike, what do you think?
I had no... preconceived ideas when we got here, and I was just kind of wanting to see what everybody else was thinking. Although I tend to agree with Gordon, I think this is
times are still not good out there in the retail sector of, mm-hmm. of life, and I know times are not good, and I just don't know. A lot of things may be justified, but how will the public react to it?
Tom?
I kind of agree. About the only change that's really taken place in last year is the legislative business expense was increased in this last session. We've got several of the legislative people, legislators have talked to me kind of off the record and said that, you know, this was the or their raise to $50,000 that they could count on was actually the reason they were able to run, which is, I think, really good. It was kind of the intent, to fix it so that they didn't have to do a report every day that they worked throughout the year. And then Lieutenant Governor, Governor, we just made the change, and that just became effective. And they, we've talked about the commissioners a lot. There's some that are highly, highly qualified, and there's others that are political appointees that they're doing it for just service to the state. I think we're in a good place to take a year off. The elections are coming up next year. I certainly don't want to have what this commission does used as a talking point for why somebody's running or why they shouldn't be running, or, you know, to throw stones at people. So I agree with Gordon that I'm happy to kind of take a year off and see what happens in the next year with the economy in general. Because there's a lot of changes, or there's a lot of things going on in the world that may affect what we do in the future.
Dick?
Well, I'm in general agreement with the group, but I do have a question, and there may be very good reason for it. Maybe I don't understand it correctly, but I note in the per diem payments, I note that the per diem payment for a out of Juneau legislator is X, and I think that's fair. I mean, whoever figured what the numbers were, very fine. It's good. And where my question comes in, I find it difficult to believe that a legislator in Juneau has per diem expenses which come very close to 75% of X, okay? And I'm suggesting that basically a Juneau legislator has got his lodging, his home, and so on, and I know there are additional expenses, you know, with the wining and dining and things they have to do, but certainly he doesn't have a lodging expense. And I was just wondering about the rationale, and like I said, it's a question more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is set by Ledge Council, is it not?
That's correct. That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
We, other than the major piece with the long-term per diem out of session, we didn't address anything with the allowances and so forth. I know that the per diem is based on the federal rate, follows the federal rate. And I expect the federal rate probably has a non-overnight schedule as well as an overnight schedule. But because it was not as big an issue, it affects three people essentially, we didn't address it, and I'm not sure that we actually didn't look at how it's set and who sets it and avoided getting into Ledge Council's allocation of the way they did it. So that's why it's been that way for a long time. I think if we were starting from scratch, it would be something that I think you could argue that
take the federal rate for overnight for the people that have to be overnight. Take the federal rate for days for people that have to be away from home during the day. And that would be a simple conclusion, and I don't know what those rates are, but that's how it got that way.
Okay, well, thanks, Mr. Chairman, and that explains it. And you know, I agree with you, it's only three legislatures, and we may not want to spend the time on trying to undo that and redo it and so on at this point in time. I would suggest, though, that we consider that when we start taking a more comprehensive look at compensation, overall compensation, that be included in there, because I think you could find some offsets in there to put toward any increases in compensation. But that's I figure that's downstream. And thanks for the explanation.
I agree with kind of what we talked about. I, of course, as Gordon knows, I thought what we should do is fix the problems we could and abolish ourselves and go away. And Gordon has pretty much convinced me that, you know, it may not be something that we have to change now, but because it's a vehicle that has kind of broken the mold in terms of getting reasonable compensation when we couldn't for years and years and years, particularly in the legislative branch, it's worth saving whether we drive it right now or not. And so I tend to believe that, and I also believe that somewhere along the way, the policies that we're seeing on a national level are going to drive inflation way up there. And when they do, there's going to be a need for a vehicle to respond. So I am reluctantly convinced that, Gordon, you're right, that we shouldn't just go away. But I also agree that this is probably not a year that we need to make a proposal. That said, that's kind of, I guess, our initial starting point. So we don't really have anything before us. I will say that I still have the wish that I could think of a way to tie together some kind of a schedule that made things work with each other. And we've discussed that with the judiciary. We've discussed it with regard to the cabinet salaries, legislative salaries. I still harbor that maybe impossible thought that you could set the cabinet salaries at one level and set the legislative salaries at a fraction of that and tie that together with the rest of the executive branch and legislative branch and so forth. But that really is a much more complicated discussion. There are certainly no emergencies in the salary schedule today, as there were essentially in what was happening in the legislative branch when it was at $20,000 and nobody could afford to be there. With that said, we have somebody who has come to join us. Did you come to testify or to listen?
Not, talk is so cheap, sir, it does not exist, but I would come forward, Therese Overmeyer, and I know we have a new member. And your name, sir?
Richard Knapp.
Oh, Mr. Knapp, you're from Anchorage, right?
Well, I lived here for about almost 8 years.
Something like in the Coast Guard or something?
That's several lives ago, yes.
Okay, and you're
you
from Juneau now, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, because I do remember your name.
You can call him Commissioner, you can call him Admiral.
Okay, yes, and of course, it's such a small world.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we've been introduced, but I have seen your name previously, and I always have a pass out. And
like
I'm really getting, I walked in your exit. You people are all a heck of a lot more savvy than Teresa. Because look at the way I've been treated. I think you're all honest, nice people. And I think Gordon is online. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So you might only have one meeting this year. Is that what's going on? Because you don't really have anything overriding?
Well, we may not be making any proposals.
Okay. Because I would only speak for myself. I am really so tired of the government. Where is any thinking, leadership, or the truth? I don't have an answer for you. I don't know what to say. My husband finds out next Thursday on the 27th of October, after 27 and a half years, Admiral, my husband has been trying to be licensed to practice law in Alaska. Now, I would like to say this. I'm here as a mother. This isn't fair to my children. How could these lawyers have been allowed to do this for this many years? I don't know what to say. It makes me think of you, though, Senator, because you're the one that told me about this. And I've told you that in the past. Rick stood at the Chugiak Eagle River Chamber in 1993 and created this watershed moment in my life. And that was, you told me that the Permanent Fund Board wasn't confirmed by the legislature. And do we know the word assume makes an ASS out of you and me? I mean, people that come here from other parts of the nation, they just assume certain things. And I think we all do. We really also assume that lawyers and judges are fair people. See, I myself am a judge's daughter, and I'm very proud. And I don't know what to say. Are these the reasons that my husband wasn't licensed? I'm one of 12 children. I have five brothers that are attorneys. In my immediate family of 122 souls, currently we have 19 attorneys. We have a law school graduate that's waiting to be licensed, and we have two kids in law school. And, Admiral, I assume you know we live in the only state in the United States that does not have a law school. Puerto Rico, a commonwealth, has four law schools. So let's figure what goes on out. I'll just talk for a moment about, here is my dear friend Bill Moran. And, again, Mike and I both ran for the U.S. Senate in 2004, and there was Frank Murkowski. Well, no, it was Lisa, because Lisa had been appointed by her father. And I almost lose track of this family because I believe I'm correct in saying that what Frank Murkowski did in appointing his daughter to the U.S. Senate has never happened in the history of the United States. And so Mike already had some ideas about the family, and I've had ideas about the See, it's all a process. Now we have the Murkowskis. They run the permanent fund money. Look at Bill Moran that Frank Murkowski appointed. And just to tell you, I hope you'll check this online too, in the first 3 years that Bill Moran was on the permanent fund board, he was able to increase the value of his two privately held banks by an average, it was like 330%. They went from like $100 million to $400 million. Now, is someone making money here? I label the entire permanent fund board and the whole shooting match as insider trading. That's all it is. That's all it is. Let's figure this out. And then the next thing I wanted to make sure you are aware of, and I don't know whether you know, I think, do you know the 12 legislators went to Norway in August 27th through September 4th? And, of course, the Daily News, our corrupt media that's owned by McClatchy in California, wanted to label that as some kind of a junket. The Norwegians are so savvy that they started a permanent oil fund like our permanent fund 20 years ago in 1991. It's now worth $570 billion. Now, there are details, and please know, I wanted to carry someone's bags over to Norway, but I wasn't allowed to go. Ask these legislators, you know, why have the Norwegians are actually buying oil companies now in the United States? They're very savvy. And so, and then also the new president, and he's not that new, I just found out, of ConocoPhillips, he's Norwegian. His name is Johansson, too. They're, you know, like Johansson is the Norwegian counsel. He's an assistant AG. Now, his name is Johansson. I mean, let's see. There are Johanssons. This guy's Johansson, and there are other Johanssons. And that's a Norwegian name. And so I couldn't believe it when I found out that the new president of ConocoPhillips is also Norwegian. Then I went on to, and I didn't want to swamp you with too many documents, to my dearest friends, the Board of Governors, who have see, just to give you the background, I never arrived at the Board of Governors for one decade of this saga. I said, well, that's my husband's career. I have nothing to do with it. And then finally, I went the first time in 1994. I said, what are these people doing? And so then I started going, and I went pretty often. Then in 1999, when the board was at court reinstating a guy named Stanton that's out of Sitka, I think his name, what is his first name? Morin. He's in the directory of attorneys. I believe, and I don't have all the details. Please always correct me if I'm mistaken. I believe the man was a drug pusher, and then I don't know what happened. His mother is Ethel, and I think his father was Norman, and they're a well-known family in Sitka. And the board was at court, and Deborah O'Regan and Stephen Van Gore jailed me overnight. I pay their salaries. After, just to tell you, they had sent me the agenda. The whole thing was a setup. It really is okay, and yet it isn't. I mean, I think I've done my share, ladies and gentlemen, and it's time for something fair. But anyway, just to show you on the Board of Governors now, and, you know, I could go down this whole list. You can see on the second page at the bottom is the former Chief Justice of the Alaska Supreme Court, Alex O. Brenner, who grew up in Russia until he was 13 or 14 years old. He's the former Chief Justice of the Alaska Supreme Court. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, he's in the pocket of Feldman, Orlansky, and Sanders. Because, you know, it's all too long. But really, in the summer of 2010, last summer, when Tom showed up at the bar exam with two of my second son's friends, I mean, my husband is 67 years old, and he's there with my children's friends because they're kids, and they're like 26 or 27, and they're trying to get their licenses. And Deborah Reagan didn't even have enough exams. And she, you have to sign up for this thing by June 15th. So Tom comes out of the exam after they wait like 40 or 45 minutes for Deborah to go over and Xerox more exams. This is how credible the Alaska bar exam is these days. And he comes out and he says, well, they were missing four exams. Well, at first I said, well, someone must have stolen four exams. And then a day or two later, you know, lights go off and I say, four different people stole the Alaska bar exam. That was only one time that the security of the exam was totally ridiculous. So my husband, who is very professional, writes everything up, you know, keeping in mind that Alex Brenner is on the Board of Governors, writes everything up professionally. They still flunk him. Ladies and gentlemen, there isn't a lot left. There is the military, and I'd like, oh, and let me just, then the last page is just really my website. My husband has let me put some documents up there. He does not prefer that I even have a website, but I put that up because I finally was facing, Rick, my second jury trial. I had already been acquitted in one jury trial in 1998, and I was facing my second one in 2003. And that's when I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to post all this. And that's when really at least they didn't make up a whole bunch of different things against me, although there really are issues every day because nothing's changed. And even the licensed attorneys were lepers because they say, well, what's wrong? They don't understand it, and they're busy working, and they, you know, they just say there's something terribly wrong. So, see, we have had so many lawsuits over the years. I mean, it's just endless. I mean, I'm very proud to say I am a certified teacher and a real estate broker, and no, I can't even get a job. I'm proud to say that because I'm not going to be bought off, I guess. I don't know. I mean, everybody else that seems to tell the truth is able to work. I'm not. I don't know whether it's because I was defamed so ridiculously by the Anchorage Daily News for 14 years that I just laughed and I said, why does everybody know who I am? And I used to have a joke, and I'd say, I'm tall. But, you know, I was defamed, and so I'm very well known. And so a handful of people are really embarrassed because I'm fine, although I'm not fine. But I really am fine. I will be fine. But, you know, and I also have a joke, and I say, over my dead body, and that's what it's becoming. I mean, really. I'm 66 years old, and my husband's 67. So are we a threat? Obviously, we're a threat to someone. The truth is this dangerous. I did bring with me, I will make copies if you're having another meeting. I was going to, you know, if you could have lived through the things that I've lived through, You always say, if you had only explained better, if you had only been more complete, this couldn't still be going on. But it still is going on. Because it started when I sued this university. And now, of course, we know, Admiral, that we have two military generals running our university. That isn't education. We have my dear friend Pat Gamble and my dear friend Tom Case, whom my husband and I met with individually, both of them individually, in the early 90s, and have understood the substance of this for many, many years. I'm trying to forgive, and I'm trying, and then, oh, the other thing I brought was Judge Postma. Does anyone want to think that this stuff is partisan? Now, Admiral, are you supposed to be a Democrat? That's what, I mean, please do not label me. I think I said a year or two ago, I'm an honest person. I don't want to be labeled. Don't put these little labels on my forehead. Because I'm a thinking person. Everyone wants to be a ridiculous partisan. And I think you just said something about it, Rick. You know, we want to create something where people can communicate and not be so ridiculously polarized. And I think it's going on in our whole nation as well. You know, that everyone's so polarized, and we have the religious right, and then we have the unions, and never the twain shall meet. And so it really is time, and I feel like, and I want to say, it's okay, but then I feel like I'm giving up way too much. I have student loans to pay back. Not only my husband and I have student loans, but we've got the four kids and their student loans. And that's something I think I talked to Rick about a year or so ago. His kids are really young. Just you wait, Henry Higgins. I mean, education has gotten so unattainable.
My kids are really young and really old.
I know that.
They go from 9 to 41.
I know that, but the ones that I'm talking about, the three younger ones. And the 41-year-old is kind of beyond, probably beyond what's going on with student loans, because it's kids in their 20s and 30s. And so that's what I mean, really, it's because people say, well, I had student loans. They're not like the student loans today, which are 8.5%. And then, you know, just to talk about law schools, and I not to belabor all this, but young people that graduate from law school these days have about an average of at least $130,000 to pay back, about. That's like a ballpark. Then the other thing that's gone on is the law schools have increased the faculty and staff by about 40% on the backs of these kids. And, you know, they're also even increasing law schools as these kids are being forced to pay more and more and more. Now, we don't have a law school in Alaska. I think we should have one of these law schools, or maybe two or three, from the lower 48 just drop on by. Because those law schools, you know, like in California and stuff, they're having a lot of financial problems, but then they keep raising the tuition, and the students are supposed to pay the bill. And kids will, and their parents will, because they believe in something fair. But all of this is just too long, talks too cheap, and sometimes I really do have to pick myself up off the floor. I cannot believe that this could still be going on. Everyone else either get the main thing is that everyone gives up, because it's very difficult emotionally to sit and watch a man study over the 4th of July the entire time. Now, Admiral, I'm not sure if you know, my husband works for the Alaska State Senate. I'd like you to know Tom, and I'd like all of you to know Tom. Tom's on 4. He's right upstairs. Tom has gone to Juneau for the last 5 years. So get to know Tom, and that's the other thing about it. The fact that my husband has worked for the legislature all these years, see, when these things have happened, like, for example, when Stephen Van Gore filed a complaint against my husband's Missouri law license in 2004, and then the Missouri Supreme Court dismissed the complaint in silence, all these things, I just thought, well, it's over now. It's never over. You know, my husband works for all these people. He's very respected. He testifies. He answers all their questions. And yet, how have they allowed this to continue, these people? You know, and Rick, we gave them their increase. You know, and I remember, Rick, he had me on the news about it. You know, because people came up to me at the time and they said, They heard me on Channel 13 saying, when you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. I don't know whether you know that was on. That's what I said. And I feel so sad, though, also just to bring up, I feel so sad about Vic Curry, because I really did give him so much encouragement. But I just think he and Peacock, although would you forgive me in bringing all, I think what Peacock did and his position made his issues a lot worse. But then look at Bruce Rayrock. He's off scot-free. So it's all too long now. But let's not be partisans. But, Admiral, I'm going to label you now, and I'm going to label each one of you because you're supposed to be partisans.
Nope.
You're appointed by in a partisan way, right?
I don't think so.
Yes, you are.
Well, I think there are governor's appointments, there's House of Representatives appointments, there are Senate appointments.
In this commission?
But, yes, but they're not based on party affiliation.
But your party affiliation is one of the issues of your appointment. I thought you were supposed to have two Democrats, two Republicans.
I don't think so.
Oh, aren't you supposed to have two Democrats and two Republicans?
Nope.
No.
Oh, you have three Republicans and two Democrats right now.
There is no party
affiliation. Party affiliation is no part of the selection process.
Well, it is always underlined, if you will forgive me.
Well,
and that's what's so outrageous. Because I think a couple of years ago, that might be where I'm not remembering, that the APOC, and that's, I filed a complaint against the Judicial Council at the APOC.
APOC does.
They have partisan, and then their fifth member is elected by the other, by the two partisan sides.
That's correct.
And so I like that. I think, you know, that, although they didn't really do much when, and should I loan you this, Rick? I'd like you to read it. About, Judge Postma lives in your neck of the woods in Chugiak. The poor man. I mean, do you know this person? I don't either. I've met him once. He's supposed to be the big Republican member of the Alaska court system on the district court level. Do you remember that he was not retained? He was not retained last November. And it was just unbelievably unfair the way he was treated and how much money was spent against him. That was totally partisan, and I just wrote it all up. And I don't know whether, you know, I don't know whether these things are good or bad. And let me just mention, I gave it to the House Judiciary. I gave it to the Senate Judiciary. I gave it to all the judges that have had issues where they were not endorsed for retention. I gave it to all these different people. I'd like to loan it to you. Would you give it back? Or you, I don't even care if you give it back. I'd like you to see what they did to Richard Postma.
I'll take a look.
And really, here is a man that is a very fine gentleman that would, what is he left, what is he supposed to do now? Go to court? And he, you know, yeah, if the main person was my dear friend, what is his name? Vic?
Pardon?
Vic Fisher.
Yeah.
Who wrote the legislation to establish the Alaska Judicial Council. He's the one that went on radio ads. Do you remember all this? He was on radio ads against Richard Postma. And that was paid for by the Alaska Judicial Council. That was state money. So that's the government. This is the government that we're all trying to... I don't want to pump the government up anymore. Let's be thinking Americans. But really, I've talked too long. Any questions?
Teresa, thank you.
Do you have any questions? See, that's not thinking either.
Well, I will take a look.
Tom, any questions?
No, but it's always interesting, Teresa. I mean,
I cannot... Because, see, we all... Do what we, what challenges us. I'm challenged because I come from a family of attorneys, and I've sued this university. At the end of it, I got a not-for-publication ruling, and I had to pay $17,161. That was 25 years ago. So it's this is who I am. I waited on this one for over 5 years, and I had to pay $17,000. See, no one else will ever try if I don't try to explain this and let other people know that I'm trying to make sure they aren't treated as terribly as I've been treated. But it's all ridiculous. Should we all borrow money from Frank the Bank? I think Sheila Toomey did label him that, and that's what he is. They call him Frank the Bank in the ear. Mike, I don't know whether you read the Daily News. Sheila Toomey calls him Frank the Bank. It's all so ridiculous. But let's be very, so do you think you are going to have another meeting?
That's the
Wish of the body.
Yep.
Okay, well, you're nice to let me say hello. Admiral, so nice being introduced to you after knowing who you are, because I think you run for, have you run for office?
Only in Juneau, Teresa.
In Juneau, that's what I remember. Did you, for the SM?
That was my stupidity period.
Well, see, and of course, we have Bruce Patello, former AG, that was investing in Exxon instead of making sure that the Exxon Valdez was settled. That's on this website with his signatures, and he's still sitting there. Let's help Bruce become an American. I don't know whether he will be. But anyway, it's all really too long now.
Yeah. That was 9 years ago. For the record, Teresa.
That you ran.
Yeah.
I haven't run since, and I don't think I'll ever run again. I ran the last time in 2004, which was 7 years ago. And I'm sick of running, and I don't think I'll ever do that again. But look, you know, you never know. Never say never. Isn't that the truth? Thank you so kindly.
Take care. And I will get this back to you. I'll look at it.
Do you want to look at the University of Alaska?
I can only look at one thing at a time.
Let's do that because it's online under my website, what has gone on with the University of Alaska and just a few of the documents. You can read it. You won't get a virus.
Are we ready to break for lunch? Okay, we'll be at ease. We'll be here. We can go ahead and turn off the PA system, but we can have lunch and any discussion we want to pick up afterward. We'll be here for public testimony if anyone comes in, and we'll try and stay long enough to give them a chance. And if people come in, I shouldn't put it that way yet. If people come in during the lunch hour and they have to get back to someplace, then we'll just come back to order to hear from them. Okay? We're at ease.
Recording started.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Is she going to call back in?
Yeah.
Okay.
How much Army time do you have, Tom?
6 years.
6 years.
Then I worked for in the same field. Well, I started in the same field. Electronics with PE, and then I went into operations.
Oh, okay.
And then
infantry?
What?
Infantry?
No. Communications. Oh. Comsec. Communications security.
Secure comms.
Yeah. And like we did the first teleconference up here in the 70s. It took about 20 people to make a teleconference work. And I was one of the first people up here that knew how to work on computers.
Okay.
And, that was early 70s. So then with GE, I started out technical and then went into operations. And just flew all the remote radar sites over and over and over.
Yeah.
And tried to, we were rebuilding them. It went from 200 GIs per site to two civilians. And when it got down to two civilians, it ran a lot better.
We're back on the recording. We have been at ease since 12:15. It's now 1:15. We have had no one join us for testimony. It has been kind of the discussion that we not make a recommendation this year. I think it's probably worth some kind of a statement of why, in terms of just the private sector economy and the economic situation, but that I think we also probably should say something about what happens in the future, that we will be looking at the same issues again, particularly if inflation turns around and makes that more critical than it is right now. But right now, we'll not be making a recommendation for any pay changes. And the people that always do such a good job at writing up those things are Nikki and Gordon. Gordon, are you back on?
Yeah, I'm back on. Mr. Chairman, I think that I don't know that we want to go into reasons why we're not making any recommendations. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, the adequacy of the current salaries and so on. And you know, I think we just need to say that the commission is not making recommendations.
Well, the reason that I thought saying something was worthwhile, I think we should at least say we've met, we reviewed, and we discussed the current status as well as the economic situation. But if we are to simply say no recommendation, that would, I think, beg the question to some people, why have a commission?
Oh, well, you know, no, we can certainly say we met and we discussed these things and we decided not to take any action this year. I mean, I think there's probably various reasons that each of us think this way or, you know, or not inclined to do anything. And I don't think we need to go into that. I think we just need to say the commission met and reviewed salaries you know, if we can say something about the economy and then just say that we decided not to take any or not to make any not to recommend any changes in these salaries.
Was that in the form of a motion?
For this year. I so move.
I'll second it.
Nick?
Discussion. I like what I heard Gordon say, and I would suggest maybe we might want to include terms I heard you say. And we looked it over, just like Gordon said, but in view of the what appears to be satisfactory levels of compensation right now, and in view of the economic uncertainties that are going on, we have decided not to take any action at this time. And our action will be reviewed as the economic situation resolves itself, or something like that.
We're just going to, you know, at our next annual meeting, we'll review the situation then. Again, I mean, we do it annually.
Oh, okay.
I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, I think so.
And Nikki, if you can try to distill that into a letter that we can deliver.
So who do we address this to? If I remember correctly, there's a process for submitting recommendations, you know, findings and recommendations.
Right.
But if you're just issuing notice that you're not making any.
I would think that we would follow the same process.
Okay.
So
okay.
We deliver the letter to
the
governor,
and
lieutenant governor and speaker and senate president.
Mr. Chair. Procedural question. Does this group have the latitude? Let's say we should all of a sudden get 15-17% inflation sometime between now and the next meeting. Does this group have the latitude to meet to address it? If it's within the year?
We don't. The way it works, there's a delay of almost a year from our recommendation taking effect. But the way they put it together originally was intended to kind of take it out of the process. So if we make a recommendation, then the recommendation becomes law automatically unless a law passes to override the recommendation. But that process is fairly cumbersome and takes some time.
Well, I think Dick's question is, you know, if we did want to meet again, we can do it at your call, or the commission can meet any time. There's some limits to the number of recommendations we can make, but I think we can decide. We have to get a recommendation to the legislature by, or we have to do it by November 15th or something like that. But
when we have to issue the preliminary recommendations. The final has to be to the legislature, I believe, by the 10th day.
Yeah. So we—that's right. We are bound to submit these things to the legislature on a certain time schedule. So I think we can meet any time we want. But I guess that we have to do something by November 15th of each year.
But the question is, yes, we can discuss it, but the mechanism of actual change is a once-a-year thing, and it has to be decided by the third week in January.
Okay. Thank you.
And we have to do the preliminary recommendations
right.
in November.
Yeah. In the past, we've put out a preliminary recommendation kind of at the extreme of what we might want to consider. And then in one case, we adopted most of that. In the other case, we backed off from some of it. In both cases, we actually backed away from the initial recommendation. Mm-hmm. But without making any initial recommendation, we really would be kind of stepping on the notice requirements to get people involved. If we tried to come up with anything, unless it was just an emergency that was universally accepted. I think if we don't do something now, we won't be able to do anything until January of the following year, which won't take effect until the end of the session in that following year. Would you circulate a draft for us all?
Certainly.
And when everybody has taken a look at it and approved it, we will sign it and send it on its way.
Okay.
And we don't need to schedule another meeting on that basis. We don't get to get together very often.
Then I'll plan to schedule a meeting next year at about the same time.
I think
I would wait until after the elections, probably next year, to do, if that's possible, to do the initial meeting.
I don't think we can.
Well,
we can't.
The only thing is our preliminary recommendations have to be completed and issued by November 15th. So it's cutting it a little close.
Yeah. So let's not get in the last couple of weeks, so let's make it around the 15th of October. Middle of October gets us at least away from that rush. And you can get in touch with all of us, and we'll be in touch on getting this thing signed and getting it in. And it's now almost 1:30, and we have had nobody come in who wants to testify on any glaring errors in the pay scales for elected or appointed.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Without objection, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Good.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Take care.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. Look forward to working with you.